Alrighty, we're in Proverbs chapter 3. We got a question already. Record time. Oh yeah, for sure. So, a couple thoughts on that. First of all, there I go with my brain not coming up with the scripture again. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's for reproof, for doctrine, for correction, instruction in righteousness. So yeah, to your point, absolutely. Everything that's here is for, has God given that to us, for us to learn, to see the value and the virtue and everything that He's provided for us. You need to look deeper. But if I remember correctly, we were talking about last week when we brought up the fact that Proverbs are general truths. And I think that the thing is about that is we have to act. We have to act on these proverbs. And we live in a world where people aren't acting on these proverbs. And so things may seem one way, but they're actually another way, if you get what I'm saying here. There's always going to be, I said exception last time. There's always going to be an exception to these things. Rather, it's just, like we said, proverbs are generally true. God knows that in the ebb and flow of humanity, culture, society, things are going to be fluctuating. And, something that was relevant back then may not be relevant now. In the sense that we live in different times. Not that it's not relevant, but out in the world, it's not relevant to them. And so they live whatever way they want. Of course. Yeah. Bottom line is, we got to stick with the word in order for these proverbs to fully manifest themselves, if you will. For us to fully see, as you said, the value in them, and then act on that, and show that we have value in our lives because of that. Okay, good to start. So, getting into Proverbs chapter 3, we start with the first four verses, which will sound mighty familiar in comparison to some of the things that we've seen previously. So, Proverbs chapter 3, first four verses, says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." So let's start with the first verse here. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands." So this is pretty similar to what we've seen previously, when Solomon wrote in chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, and then in chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. Solomon once again beseeches his son to listen to the teachings of his father. And he says, "For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." So right along with that, he also shows the reward of doing so. Altogether, so far, we see that by listening to his father's instructions, he will understand the fear of the Lord, according to chapter 2, verse 5, receive godly wisdom, according to 2:6, be preserved and kept and delivered from the paths of sinners, chapter 2, verses 10 through 19, walk uprightly, verses 20 through 22, and have long life and peace, chapter 3, verse 2. Now, while we don't have an exact timeline of when Solomon wrote all of this, because he keeps addressing his son in this way, what impression do you get by that? His son was younger. Okay. And it's important. Okay. To Celeste's point about being younger, I kind of wonder myself about whether or not his son was hard-headed or didn't like to listen to his father. Okay. You're absolutely right. Repetition is needed when raising our children. I'm reminded of chapter 12 of 1 Kings. This is when Rehoboam took office. He was now king. And what does he do? Hit the nail on the head right there. Chapter 14, verse 21. This is what I was looking for. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. Rehoboam was 41 years old. You know, when we see that he went to his young friends, we get the impression that he was younger than he actually was here. But at 41, you would think he was a little more mature than he actually acted. So again, to the point of the idea of him being hard-headed or didn't like to listen, this, of course, that's speculation, but guess what? He turned away the counsel of the older, the wiser, in favor of opinion of his friends. So, I think Solomon might have known that his son's a little hard-headed or hard of listening. And we've all been there, I'm sure. Well, I say we all. I'm not even a parent yet, so. But how many times have you told your kids to listen to you? At least 78,000 times, right? But we see Solomon's care. He wants his son to pursue wisdom and to do what's right. And that's what all any parent would want. And he tells him, verse 3 and 4, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man." So in a similar language to how he had previously described wisdom and instruction, he tells his son not to let mercy and truth be forsaken, but that he should treat each of these as important as wisdom and instruction, as he should, because where would we be without mercy or truth? Pardon? Up a creek. That's one way to put it. Yeah. Let's just say it's a very dark place. And to be blunt, we're doomed in every sense of the word. First of all, without mercy, what happens to us? We're lost. Be so far as to say condemnation. Because the reason why any of us are here today is because of God's mercy. God's mercy meant that he withheld the judgment we deserved. And what did we deserve? Death. You know, when God told Adam and Eve that they would surely die if they ate of the forbidden fruit, he had every right to strike them dead right then and there. But he was merciful to them. They would die, but naturally, losing access to the tree of life, never having eternal life on earth. Secondly, what happens to truth? Or excuse me, without truth, what happens to us? Okay, very good. But I like to think about the truth. Remember what Jesus says? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So without truth, are we going to have a sense of direction? Are we going to know right from wrong? No access. We'll believe whatever. Believing whatever we want. That's what causes all these issues within society, within relationships, within law and order, especially with the Bible. And when there is truth, an objective standard of what the reality is, then we have a sense of direction. Which is why this is the most important book you'll ever read. Not just talking about Proverbs, I'm talking about the entire Bible here. And so Solomon says, bind them around your neck. Bind mercy and truth around your neck. Let these aspects be evident to yourself, to others. Act upon them. Let them define your life. You come up with the biggest lie you can think of. Your entire life becomes a lie. Bad, right? But the little white lie, still just as bad. That's the same thing to God. Because at the end of the day, what is a lie? It's a sin, and it's not true. And so, anything that's not true is a lie. Anything that's a lie, not right. It's a sin. Well, he says, write them on the tablet of your heart. You know, it's hard to erase what is engraved on a tablet. In the same way, we should not want these things erased from our hearts, but instead let them remain there as perpetual reminders of how God is, how good God is, and honor him by exemplifying mercy and speaking truth. And to this, Solomon says, as Celeste pointed to earlier, you will find favor and high esteem in God and man. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. There's a scenario. You get a phone call at the office. Let's just say you're working in an office. You get a phone call. You answer the phone. It says, oh, I need to talk to your CEO, Bob Ross. Random name off the top of my head. So, you take your phone over to Bob Ross's office. Knock on the door. You say, hey, Bob Ross. Someone's on the phone asking for you. What does he say? He says, tell him I'm not here. Is that true? No. So, if you, in this moment, lie, you're going against God, and you don't have favor with God. If you tell the truth, you're going against him, and you don't have favor with man. Bob said, so here's the thing. Can't come to the phone right now. Don't have to necessarily say it the way they're saying it, but at the same time, you're supposed to tell the truth. And what we're getting, go ahead. Because man's agenda, it's all about agenda. Man's agenda is not God's agenda. Just as God himself says, your ways are not my ways. And so just because it's generally true, if you stand up for truth in today's society, you're going to be respected and favored by some people. Maybe not everybody, especially if their agenda is not with your agenda. Yeah, depends on the person. Absolutely, no. Can't be conforming to the way the world does their things. What does the scripture tell us? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renew your mind with this. Transform yourselves into what God wants you to be. They're going to answer for their shenanigans, but we're going to answer for ours as well. We got to make sure we're trying to live right for God in everything that we do. Live for mercy. Live for truth. Live for wisdom. Go ahead. Got that right. So, when we act with mercy, when we hold fast to the truth, we obtain favor with God because he is pleased with us, because we're doing his will. We're standing up for our belief in him, and we're doing our best to live right in his sight and be well pleasing to him. We also can obtain favor with man. Because out in the world, you know, there are too many who lie, as we discussed, and there are too many who act mercilessly toward one another. And to find someone who does not lie and who is merciful in their actions, that's a rare thing these days. People will notice that. People will hold closely to those people. All right, good talk there. Verses 5 through 8, we continue on. And it consists of probably one of the most quoted verses in all the Proverbs, verses 5 and 6. But we'll read through verse 8 as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. Strength to your bones. Big, heavy, impactful words seen for all of us here. Verse 5, let's start there. Break that down. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Do you trust God? How much? Everything? That's a good answer. And that's where it gets tough. For us to be honest sometimes, because we want to say We fully trust in him. But let's face it, we sometimes do things just in case. Granted, when we trust the Lord with something, there's a level of personal responsibility with that. For example, if we pray for a safe drive, we can't go driving in the oncoming lane and expect nothing to happen, right? But Solomon says, trust him with all your heart. Can our heart cause us a lot of trouble if we're not right? Absolutely. Our hearts can be weighed down by so many things. Stress and anxiety, sadness and depression, anger and bitterness, fear, loss. We put so much strain on our hearts, and we're supposed to trust God with everything. So what do we need to do? We're supposed to trust God with everything, but what do we do instead of that? We lean on our own understanding, which Solomon warns against. You know, what do we understand? Nothing in comparison to what God knows. You know, we'd like to think we know, but there's so much that we don't know. So much that our understanding can only get us so far. We have to rely on God. And it goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. So no matter what the situation is, no matter how hard or how easy it is even, we have to rely on God. Life is full of unexpected twists and turns. And it's simply not worth it to pretend like we have all the answers. You know, we cannot lean on our own understanding, and we cannot go at it alone, because what is the promise that we're shown in this verse? He will make your path straight. And if we consult him in everything, we will be guided by him. If we ask him for guidance, then we know that he will help us to navigate whatever the situation may be. But if we don't trust him enough to ask for his help or even acknowledge him, what's the alternative? Trusting in self? Leaning on our own understanding? Well, that can only get us so far. And not always in the right direction. Which is why we're told again, verses 7 and 8, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Story of Job. That's right. Yeah. I think at the bottom line, that's right. They're not willing to trust. I believe a lot of people get so attuned to living life without God that they just can't help but build up these walls, if you will, and say, you know, I can do this. I'll do this, that, and the other. But what happens to us We can get tired. We can get burnt out. We can mess up. There's so many things that can go wrong by not trusting in God. And you know, to those stories we mentioned, I think about Daniel too. God shut the mouths of those lions in that den with him. Think about that for a minute. Picture it. They may want to eat him, but physically unable to open their mouths, so to speak. Oh yeah.
And these scientists, they are so smart. Of course, when you really get them down, they still can't answer. One of my favorites is when the scientist said, okay, let's both grow something. And he said, let's both take dirt and grow something. God said, you get your own dirt. You figure out where the dirt came from first. And so I think sometimes it's easy when you go to museums or you read
because, you know, man, once you involve science, that's when things get heated. But let's people want to say science is what disproves God. Well, everything they're trying to disprove God with, you notice one common word with each of them? Theory. Means I don't know for sure if this is actually legit, but hey, takes God out of the picture, so let's go. That's how a lot of scientists think, I think. They want to disprove God, but the fact of the matter is, God created science. Andre.
Going back to, do not lean on your own understanding.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying for myself.
No, yeah. I'm sure we've all been there, brother. I know I have. I'll just be straight up with you. There was a time in my life where I just thought things weren't going my way, so I just let myself be on cruise control. Glad those times are behind me. And, you know, to that point of what Andre's saying, you know, I can't help but think that a lot of it goes back to the devil. A lot of it goes back to Satan creating situations for us to be overwhelmed by, for us to not be, as Peter warns that we should be, sober-minded and vigilant in these situations, that things just aren't going right. Back to Job. Who caused all that trauma to him? It was Satan. He's the one that took everything. When people get on Twitter and they blame God for this, that, or the other, it's not God. He's the one you go to when you want these things to get fixed. Sue, I believe you had your hand up earlier. No? I thought I saw another hand. So. Okay. No worries. Don't mean to pick on you, but did you have a comment? 17:9. Woo! And desperately wicked, who can know it? Very good. Very good scripture. Because it kind of goes back to what Jesus had said. What comes out of the man defiles him, and it comes from the heart. We've got to make sure our heart is in the right place. Because it can deceive us. It can weigh us down. Yes, you're absolutely right. We can take much for granted. Very good. I appreciate that. That's a powerful verse right there. All righty. Anything else before we... All righty. Yeah, at some point there's just going to be a time where we need to stop asking the unanswerable questions. Because I think about that one verse. I want to say it's in Deuteronomy. Secret things belong to the Lord. But what He has revealed to us, that is for us and for our children forever. We're not going to have all the answers. And that's okay. Some things... You know, some secrets of the universe, if you will, God is going to have that close to Him. Maybe we can ask Him when we get there, but at the same time, when we get there, maybe we won't care anymore. It's all gone. We're in heaven now. So, you never know. Very good point there. If we got to ask why, where is our faith? Well, I believe asking why is only human nature. I believe, yeah, for sure. We can't help it sometimes. We ask questions, whether they have an answer or not, or at least one that's revealed to us, I should say. I forgot where I was going with that. I'm going to be totally honest with you. I told you, I was a tiny bit under the weather, and my brain just... But if we got to ask why, where is your faith? Because... Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Because like we said, there's the unanswerable questions. There's the secret things that belong to God. And that's totally okay. And when we, you know, as we said, trust in Him. Don't lean on our understanding. Lean on His. Because what level of understanding does He have? He is the one that built the fabric of the universe. Every molecule that we see or do not see, all Him. Everything that goes beyond our vision of the stars and the sky, everything out there, all the strangeness that could be found in the universe, it's all Him. He knows it all. He knows where He put every single planet. And what's impressive about that, if you go back to Genesis and see the fourth day, He, moon, sun, and stars, all in one day. Every single planet that's out there. Amazing, isn't it? Only someone with infinite wisdom, infinite understanding, infinite power can do something like that. And that is why we believe what we believe. I love that song that we sing. There is a God. He is alive. In him we live and we survive. From dust our God created man. It's amazing. Healing. Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head right there. That's the perfect way to end this, because that's where it all points to. It all points to giving it all to him. I believe I have in my notes later, we talk about the passage where Peter in 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Philippians 4:6-7, everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. Why? Because the one that could do any and everything, that created and fabricated this entire universe, your thing that you're going through will seem as nothing to him. And he can take you through it. Thank you all. We're a minute over. Appreciate all your comments. Very great discussion tonight.